2012, the Olympics, it was going to be a disaster. But then, Brendan May advises business on green affairs in Britain.
The months and years that led up to the London Olympic Games had many features in common with the lethargy and the suspicion that stalls the progress of the green movement. There was widespread cynicism about whether London could put on a Games at all. After all, Britain does millennium domes, late football stadiums, wobbly bridges, and the baggage handling debacle of the new Heathrow Terminal 5. Britain doesn't do decent public transport. So what hope for a month-long event with millions of foreign visitors? The it'll never work attitude was widespread, and it's shared by many people about environmentalism. Everything is too little, too late, and anything we do will be insignificant in global terms, or so the mantra goes. The other big concern was cost. As the budget rose, the economic downturn worsened. People asked whether any of this was worth the mammoth expense, just as many ask about the investment needed in sustainable technologies and supply chain transformation. Is the long-term return, they ask, really worth it? Just before the Games began, it seemed the cynics were about to allow themselves a smug, self-congratulatory pat on the back when the contractor G4S proved themselves unworthy of major public contracts and the army had to be drafted in to help keep people moving and safe. This was surely the proof that the cynics had been right all along. Except, of course, it wasn't. No bombs went off, no planes were shot out of the sky, Team GB didn't head home forlornly with just a couple of bronze medals. They even beat Australia. The Games were a triumph, and many of the ingredients of that success have significant implications for the green movement. First, there was clarity of vision. London 2012 had a clear, unshakable belief in itself and vision for its Games that was powerfully articulated during the bid process and its legendary pitch in Singapore back in 2005. The organisers knew exactly what they wanted to achieve and had worked out how. The same can't be said of the current global green movement. Second, there was unity of purpose. The implementation of the London 2012 vision was only possible because of the way in which a powerful alliance of groups across party politics, sporting bodies with often competing agendas, communities, businesses and government agencies worked in tandem to deliver the Games. Yes, there were spats along the way, but they're nothing compared with the silos and divisions in the green movement. Third, there was leadership. Whatever one thinks of Lord Coe or his politics, he delivered. He didn't have to resign halfway through or spend his time fending off one crisis to the next. He clearly commanded the respect of those who worked with and for him. He was a unifying leader and a towering figurehead for the Olympic movement. The Green Movement doesn't have an equivalent. There are plenty of gurus around, but not one of them has Coe's ability to carry such a multiple range of audiences to deliver a clear mission underpinned by indisputable management competence. Fourth, the Games captured the public imagination. Many Olympic sports hold little interest for the public. How often do they watch badminton, people spinning round a wooden bowl, or archery when there's Premiership football, World Cup rugby, cricket or Wimbledon on offer? Just like many green issues, most Olympic events are niche, with complex rules and of little ongoing public appeal. Yet, households up and down the country, and indeed all over the world, were glued to the spot, screaming support for their athletes and crying tears of joy every time another medal was won. It was that spirit of endeavour, the stories of struggle turned to triumph, and the community cohesion of the Olympic dream that was so electrifying. You could see it on TV, hear it in the cheerful voices of the volunteers on the trains and the tubes, in the Olympic Park and on the streets. In many ways, the sport was secondary. Here, the environment movement has so much to learn. We simply have to find other ways of engaging people in the green movement, in this cause. This may very well mean taking green out of the narrative altogether. Environmentalism, surely, is about resource efficiency, saving money, better places and spaces. It's about community cohesion, global stability and smart technology. Green is a big turnoff to vast swathes of the general public, whether we like it or not. And lastly, the media behaved itself. London 2012 united print, broadcast and social media more perhaps than any event in the last 60 years. Britain isn't exactly famous for its positive media culture, but the media of the Olympic summer wasn't the sordid underbelly spotlit by the Leveson inquiry or the multiple criminal investigations now underway. Neither was it the obsessive hunt for bad news in the belief that only this sells newspapers. And neither was it the tawdry meaninglessness of celebrity adulation. Combined with the hundreds of thousands of tweets a second, the superlative BBC and Channel 4 coverage of the Olympics and the Paralympics, the whole movement was bathed in a positive glow. Now, this was partly down to the successes of vision, coalition building, leadership, and the joyful public mood. But the media didn't simply report on events, they actively added to that collective determination to make this the best global event ever hosted in Britain. The Green Movement needs to work much more effectively with media to engender the same degree of public excitement, interest, and shared purpose. It's not about compromising editorial integrity and balance, but it's about finding ways in which to tell the story with inspiration to bring sustainability to new audiences in a compelling way. In the case of the Olympics, people talk as much about the artistic triumphs of the two opening ceremonies as of the sporting successes on the track or in the pool. In the middle of a double-dip recession and the bleakest of economic outlooks, Britain managed to create an event that'll live in the public consciousness for years, even decades to come. Of course, there are many questions about what the future legacy of all this will be. Will more kids take up sport? Will the regeneration of East London continue? Will the green initiatives of this Olympics prove transformative and impact other sectors? These are all questions environmentalists ask about their own efforts. The difference is that in the case of London 2012, the building blocks have been firmly established and are probably unshakable. I think that is a model for success that the Green Movement would do very well to copy.
Brendan May, who consults with business on environmental policies. He also writes for Private Eye magazine.